From tests to T20, William Hill InPlay Radio brings you the best bets in the world of cricket. With dedicated experts including ex-England and Yorkshire batsman Anthony McGrath, we've got our eyes on everything from the match betting to the next over. InPlay Radio, your eyes on a world of betting.
Yeah, welcome along. We're looking forward to the first test between the West Indies and England. And delighted to say that former England batsman Anthony McGrath is with us on the line. Hi, mate. You all right?
Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. It hasn't seemed 5 minutes since we were talking about the demise of England in the World Cup and the back on it here. Before we get into the match betting, we'll have to have a little chat about the latest goings-on behind the scenes. Paul Downton, of course, leaving as the ECB's managing director just over a year in the job. Probably someone had to carry the can, I guess, and it looks like it's him. I suppose from a player's point of view, though, they're out of, you know, obviously out of the country, job to do. This won't really matter then, will it?
No. I mean, there's obviously a lot made by, you know, ourselves and media and people talking about it. But when you're playing, you know, these things don't really affect you. I mean, people like to probably make more of them and it'll affect the team, etc. But as you say, there's a few new players over there in the touring squad and they'll just really be wanting to make an impact and make sure England win this series, which they should do, really, against another team who's in a bit of turmoil as well.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I was just looking down that West Indies results in all forms of cricket, and you have to go back a fair few months to find a Test series for a start.
Yeah,
you know they don't. It strikes me that the West Indies have fallen out of love with the game to a certain extent, and really fallen out of love with Test cricket as well. I think the last Test series was the one in South Africa, wasn't it? The Viv Richards Trophy, which they lost one Test by 8 wickets. They drew one and lost the other one by an innings and 220 runs.
Yeah, I mean, we joke. We talk about England being in demise and problems, but the West Indies, I mean, if you'd have mentioned this in the 80s, 90s, when West Indies were a power in world cricket, they're just unrecognisable, and it's almost Test cricket in particular as just, you know, a non-event now in the Caribbean. You know, you watch the crowds and the interest, and it's just not there. Obviously, when England are there, the people turn up because, you know, England, the Barmy Army Tech people all over, but West Indies cricket, I mean, half of them are not available for the Test series, so that tells you how much the players hold Test cricket. So it really is a big problem for the Caribbean.
England themselves, they've had these couple of warm-up games, haven't they? I mean, there's been a lot of debate over how useful they were. I know this is going to be hard for you to do, but cast your minds back to when you weren't in good nick. I know it's very, very few and far between in your career, but did it matter who you were playing against if you scored a ton, or if you just got back in and felt good?
To some degree, I mean, I don't know how much you saw of the highlights of that game, but it just looked like a club team they were playing, with all respect, against St. Kitts and Nevis. They were absolutely terrible, but it's good for one when you go on tour, get used to the conditions, guys who've probably not been out there before, but it won't really have too much bearing on the first test. But I mean, England should win this Test series, let's not, you know, beat around the bush. They should win this really comfortably. I don't think the West Indies, I'd expect most county teams to beat this West Indies squad. I really would, the team they've put out. So, I think England should, as I say, comfortably win this and then hopefully take a little bit of momentum into the summer against New Zealand and Australia.
This Test series betting here, 4-1 the West Indies, 100-30 the series is drawn, and England are 2-1 on. So the traders are pretty much on your side there, aren't they?
Yeah.
I guess 2-1 on, is it a bit short, or would you think that's, you know, people could confidently back that?
I'd comfortably back it. Yeah. I mean, given weather, you can get a bit of weather out there this time of year in the Caribbean. The pitches have changed over there. Obviously, it used to be fast, and you know the tall seamers or fast bowlers used to get a lot of joy. But now it's slower pitches. The spinners come into play a bit more. So it'd be interesting to see who England play in their final level in 11 in terms of the spin. But I still expect England to win this series comfortably.
We've got series correct score betting as well. If you're going for the England win, 1-0 is 6-1, 2-0, 100-30, 2-1, 5-1, and 3-0, 5-1 as well. So if you can pick the right one there, and there's a bit to go at, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think West Indies will win a test. Yeah. I really don't. I don't think they've got enough batters to get the runs on the board or the wickets either. England's problem could be getting 20 wickets in the test match. But I'd probably say 2 or 3 nil. I'm that confident. I think England will win comfortably.
That's interesting. These series handicap as well, and England minus 1.5 tests, which basically covers your bet, doesn't it? 11-8. So that would be the bet for you there, I guess. And, so England to win by two clear tests, effectively. So you're getting the 2-0 and the 3-0 on your side there at 11-8.
Yeah.
The first test then, the prices are West Indies 9-2, 11-8 the draw, and 11-10 England. This first one, obviously, we've got all the usual markets, which we'll go through. But you know, you're pretty confident that England can win this first one.
I think that is an absolutely fantastic price. I really do. Given weather, as I say, which you can't really control. But if this test goes, 5 days, England should win this, really comfortably. If you look at the names on the West Indies squad, and look what England can put out. I know England have had a terrible time, etc., but we're actually better at Test cricket than we are at 2020 and one day. So, as you mentioned yourself about how long it is since West Indies played a Test series, put into the mix that a lot of West Indies' best players are in the IPL are not available, and that probably gives you the answer. So, as I say, England 11-10. I think it's an unbelievable price.
Let's have a look at some of the batsmen and bowler prices. Then we'll start with the home team. You look down this list, and there's still some names in there. Top West Indies batsmen: Chanderpaul 3-1, Darren Bravo 7-2, Malin Samuels 7-2, Craig Braithwaite is 4-1, Devon Smith 5-1, Shai Hope 6s. Then you get to some of the bigger prices after that. But they have still got talent in there, haven't they?
Well, yeah, of course they've got talent, but I don't think at this level against the better test nations. Shivering Chanderpaul is by far the best player that West Indies have got, and they rely on him, hell of a lot. We've seen Darren Bravo and Marlon Samuels score runs, but Samuels has been a little bit off recently. And again, we've not a lot to go on in terms of test cricket, but I'd be going on the Shiv Chanderpaul. 3-1, as I say, he's head and shoulders above any of the other West Indies batsmen, technically, and obviously with his experience and the amount of runs I've got. So for me, that's a no-brainer at 3-1.
England batsman odds: Alistair Cook 7-2, Ian Bell 4-1, Jonathan Trott 4s as well, Adam Lyth is 9-2, Gary Balance and Joe Root the same price, then a big jump up to Ben Stokes, who's 8-1. Just having a look at those tour matches. There's some decent scores posted. Getting back into good nick, aren't they? Especially Alistair Cook, when carried his bat, didn't he, for a big score?
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about this game is who's actually going to play. I mean, Adam Lyth's gone over, and it looks like Jonathan Trott is going to open with Alistair Cook. That disappoints me. I'd like to see Adam Lyth, off the back of last year's runs, him going up at the top of the order. And if Jonathan Trott's going to play bat at three, where he normally has done for England, but it looks like Trott's going to open. The middle order's pretty sorted with Joe Root and Ian Bell. But the wicket-keeping, again, you mentioned the other day, Johnny Bairstow scored some vital runs. Is he going to play? Is it going to be Josh Butler? Them two both at 12-1 are big prices, because as I say, I think the West Indies strength in depth, I think there's a lot of runs for the England's batsmen, but I'm going to go for Joe Root. I think he's England's now best player. Alistair Cook's come back in the team, but 9-2 for me, Joe Root. He's in good form, and I think he's a good bet.
Whereas maybe you could point to the West Indies batting lineup and say, yeah, there's still some recognisable names in there. You can't say the same about the bowling, and it goes back to your earlier point, doesn't it? When you look back at the illustrious list of unbelievable bowlers that the West Indies had, used to strike fear into the heart. Jerome Taylor 5-2, Kimar Roach 3-1, Jason Holder 100-30, Suleiman Ben is 7-2, then Carlos Braithwaite is 9-2, and Devendra Bishu 9-2, and 10-1 for Marlon Samuels. Someone's got to top this list though, Anne.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they're talented enough bowlers, but as you say, I mean, you know, it's far from what the West Indies used to be. I just think Suleiman Ben, the spinner at 7-2, I think again that represents the kind of pitches West Indies produce now. The slow, the turn more. I don't think there's much in it for the fast bowlers, so I'm going to go Suleiman Ben at 7-2.
Move on to the England England bowlers. Again, they've had plenty of practice, not least in that that match against the St Kitts Invitational when they there were about a million wickets taken in there, weren't there? In the end, Jimmy Anderson, of course, took 6 for 17, didn't he? In the end, yeah. So in good nick. Treadwell, of course, as well. The odds see Anderson at 5-2 as the England top bowler. Stuart Broad 3-1. Chris Jordan 7-2. Liam Plunkett 7-2. Adil Rashid 4-1. Ben Stokes 4-1. Treadwell's 9-2. Mark Wood 5-1. And then Joe Root, big jump up to a 20-1 in there. I suppose if you're looking for a bit of value, you wonder who starts, really, don't you? You need to find out if Rashid gets a nod or not, don't you?
I'm hoping Rashid plays, but again, it looks like in the warm-up matches they're going to opt for the safer option of Treadwell. Yeah. Again, you know, for me, there's no point taking him if you're not going to play him. I think spin will come into play for England, but maybe in the second innings. I like Rashid. I think he can, you know, get you 3 or 4 wickets from nothing. But I think we've seen in the warm-up games, again, I expect England to get early wickets. So, for me, it's between Broad and Anderson. Both were very disappointing in the winter, especially in the World Cup. But Jimmy with a red ball, Jimmy Anderson's a great test ball. And I think 5-2, keep it simple, go with him.
Anthony, thanks for your time.
No problem.
We'll speak to you ahead of the second test, and you're going to be on In Play Radio doing some of the IPL Sunday matches.
William
as well,
Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.